Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. It is good to be back on the mic with all of you today. I am feeling a little bit of a new lease on life at the moment. I recently got an IV infusion of all sorts of vitamins and really high level amino acids. And it was very interesting because while I was in, so this place that I went to, I'm not even going to give the name because, maybe I should just give the name. Prime IV and Wellness. They're all over the country. I've only been once, so don't hold me to it around, you know, vetting this place. So I'm not necessarily saying go out and go to this place. They're great. But I mean, they actually were great. And I really liked so many different aspects of this little clinic that I just went to. One in particular is that they have a proprietary patent, I guess you could call it, on an AI massage chair that is only available at their company. It's made exclusively for them. And you sit in the chair while you're getting your infusion. And this chair is outrageous. It has like a million different types of massages that you can get. It rocks back and forward. You're like in this little, like, it's like it basically wraps around you. You're basically in this little pod. Your calves go into the leg parts. And so your whole body is like secure in this thing. And it's awesome. I loved that part. But I also got like a heavy duty dose of vitamins, and then I got a bunch of add-ons, so glutathione and acetylcysteine, and I got vitamin B and vitamin C and all this stuff. I got a vitamin B12 injection. It was wild. So, and I'm gonna be doing the NAD plus or NAD positive or whatever. Like, everybody calls it something different, but the NAD plus is supposedly, and I've known about this for a long time because I interviewed NAD plus practitioners and experts on my last podcast. So I've been known about this for a while. The supplements that you take orally just absolutely do not do the trick. But they do call it a treatment for addiction of any kind, addictive thoughts, behaviors. People with substance use issues will use it and have reported tremendous benefits. That's when I first learned about it years ago. But it's also a cell regenerator. So the infusion is anywhere from 2 to 8 hours long. The nurse said about 6 hours is probably like on average how long you're in the office getting this infusion. And the drip has to be slow because it has to wrap around every single cell in your entire body. And it needs time to do that. So it's like a total cell rebooster on the most major level possible. So that's what I'm going for when I decide to do it. And in the meantime, I'm just getting a bunch of intravenous supplements and nutrients in the form of vitamins and amino acids and whatnot. So they say like we only really absorb about 20% of our daily nutrients through food. And so you really need to have these high level doses of additional nutrients that even just put you back to baseline. Never mind have an extra amount that will help with energy and fatigue and body pain and mental health issues like depression and stress and all kinds of other things. So anyway, they recommend going once every 2 to 3 weeks to get you to your to your baseline and then maintain that, because it starts to deplete and you'll go back to where you were over the course of the 2 weeks that you're not getting the infusions. But if you stay on top of it and go, or probably about 3 weeks, but if you stay on top of it and go every 2 weeks, you reach that optimal level. That's how they pitched it. And so when I left, I was so tired. I took like a 3.5 hour nap when I left that day. I took a 3.5 hour nap the day afterwards. And now we're into day three. And I'm pretty pumped up. So my mind is thinking forward again. I don't feel stuck in my mind. All of the ideas that I typically would have and would have the energy to keep up with are now coming back. So I am pursuing now heart-centered hypnotherapy training next month. And that is something that's been on my mind for over a year, because I found out about this group doing my own research. I incorporated their research into my research about heart-centered hypnotherapy, which to me would be most desirable, just given the approach that I have, heart-centered meditation, heart-centered psychotherapy. So I didn't want to just do any type of hypnotherapy training. I wanted one that really aligned with my values and my belief system and my therapeutic approach. So, and that is not something that I would have probably taken on, frankly, if I hadn't gotten this boost of nutrients. So that's where I'm at today. And so in coming back to my why, of why I do what I do and why I'm on the path that I'm on and why I seek out the things that I do, I actually wanted to jump on and do a little episode on reconnecting and reclaiming your why and really how to pay attention to the signs that are showing up to tell you that you're on the wrong path. So I just want to run through a few of the key signifiers that you should be paying attention to if you have these experiences in your life. So it can help you identify that you're maybe a little bit off track and then how to get back on track. And these are pretty obvious, but I think putting them in one space and outlining them in a list, essentially, which is what I'm going to do today, kind of puts it all in one nice digestible little package. So if any of this resonates with you, take notes, pay attention to how and where it's showing up in your life. And then we'll talk a little bit about how to get yourself back on track. And I think the reason why this resonates with me is because I'm always trying to make sure that I'm staying on track. Because being burnt out, distracted, stressed, and exhausted, and unhappy and frustrated with anything that I'm doing are major warning signs to me that I need to get back on track, because those feelings to me are actually intolerable. I'm not somebody that can just work a stressful job and just deal with it and just not really pay attention to it. I'm somebody that really needs to have meaning in my life. And I want as much ease and peace in everything that I'm doing as humanly possible. So when I notice that these signs come up for me, it's like alarm bells start going off. And I know that I do not have the stamina to keep that struggle going. I need to make immediate shifts to get myself back on track. And so if I don't have the energy to do that because I've gone too far into the burnout range, it's really hard to do that. And I can get stuck. And a couple months could go by and I realized I haven't moved forward on any goals or ideas that I have, or whatever I was working on, I haven't gotten back to. So I wanted to share this with you, especially since this is my area of specialty. This is what I help people do, especially those in the helping and the healing profession. Reconnect to your why and heal the burnout. So I apply the same stuff to my life on an ongoing basis. I live it in real time. So I'm deeply connected to that part of myself. So first key right here, you're constantly unhappy. Pay attention to whether or not you're in a perpetual state of being unhappy with your current quality of life, your job, or anything else that you might be doing. Something that lingers no matter what you do. And I'm not talking about the fleeting ups and downs of frustration and dissatisfaction that might just come in with just natural parts of life. I mean like a perpetual state. Are you feeling more misery than joy in what you're doing? Has that extended over a period of time? Have you tried to make small changes that wouldn't require big changes in your life, but you tried doing the small stuff and nothing's working? And if so, it might be time to reevaluate your direction and get on track to finding a path that brings you more fulfillment, joy, and happiness in your life. And that actually might require a bigger change. And I think this is the thing that keeps people stuck in a perpetual state of misery, is that I don't have the money, I don't have the time, and I don't have the bandwidth to make that much of a radical change in my life, whether it comes to my personal life or my work. And that's the problem right there. So if you're not willing to make a calculated risk to create necessary change in your life, nothing's going to change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And it might take some strategizing in order to plan for that bigger change. Maybe you have to save up some money. Maybe you have to go through a little bit of a grind for a period of time. But if you have your sights set on the goal that you're trying to accomplish because you believe it's going to breathe new life into your current situation, then that's a risk worth taking. The problem is you can't be afraid to do it, and you can't allow every excuse in the book to come up that prevents you from making that change if you know in your heart of hearts that that change is necessary to create more flow and more meaning and more purpose in your life. It might not happen overnight. You might have to make the 1-year plan, the 3-year plan, the 5-year plan. And it might require patience. But if you're moving in that direction on a consistent basis and you stay in the present moment and you honor the fact that the eternal now is the only thing that matters, therefore, if I just stay focused right here, right now, don't worry about 5 minutes from now. Don't worry about tomorrow because I already made that plan, that long-term plan. Now I disconnect from it. I come back to the present moment. And I do something right here, right now that's going to positively contribute to that end goal. Then you'll be able to start reclaiming some of that energy, that passion, and that joy for what you're doing in the present moment, even if you haven't gotten to where you want to be yet. But you're working towards it, and you got to stay steadfast with it. And when you make that shift to bring your current present moment into more alignment, that's where you start reclaiming the energy and the focus to actually stay the course. Another hint is that your stress levels are really exceptionally high. A healthy amount of stress is good. It's about trying to find out where that healthy line is. Because just enough stress allows us to motivate, to feel motivated in doing something different in our lives that will be healthier. So you want to honor the stress that's coming out. But if it becomes a chronic stress that you've allowed to go on for an extended period of time, that is undoubtedly going to stifle your creative energy. It's going to create a major block in both the mind and the body. And it's going to contribute to illness and then disease. So it's really important that you pay attention to what your stress level is, and that you humble yourself enough to know your limitations and back off from the edge if you've been plowing through it for an extended period of time. That's a super important one. When you come to the edge, do you soften or do you plow through? Do you back off out of fear or do you force yourself to go beyond your limits? And if you can just come to that edge and soften a little bit, you'll find your flow and you'll find your way forward. Another red flag is that you find yourself regularly, physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted. And it's perpetual, again, with this constant. So are you having more horrible, very bad, terrible days than good days? Are you working in a job that you are not passionate about? Every single night when you go to bed, are you just like begging for the lights to go off inside your mind? Because the day has just been so stressful that you can't even tolerate thinking for another minute. Are you so tired that you can't do anything after work? You're just coming home and crashing? And then when you wake up, are you dreading the day? Are you totally dreading doing the next thing, which is just maybe picking your head off the pillow and putting your feet on the ground, saying, oh, I don't want to do this today. That's a huge red flag right there, if that's how you're starting your morning. Especially if you've rested all night, but you're waking up still feeling exhausted. That is definitely something to pay attention to. Also, pay attention to your physical health. Is your physical health jeopardized in any way? Because remember, health is wealth. So if your physical health is suffering, that's a huge indication that you're too caught up in your mind, worrying about whatever it is, or your mind is too disconnected from your body. And that's why the pain and the illness and the sluggishness and the fatigue, that's on the illness and disease is showing up in the body, because you're disconnected from the wisdom of your body. You're not listening to it. You're not in your body. So the body has to say, hello, come back. I need to get you back in here. And the best way to do that is to show up with symptoms of physical pain, illness, disease, what have you, because now the focus is back on the body. That gets you back in. But that's not the healthy way to do it. So you want to listen to the wisdom of the body and ask yourself, what is my body trying to communicate to me right here, right now? Another important thing to pay attention to is what your passions are. What would you do for free if you could? Does that align with what you are doing to get paid? Or is there a disconnect there? So pay attention to what excites you, what energizes you, and whether or not the thing that you're doing every day is in alignment with that. Very important. And passions, by the way, are not just your hobbies. These are integral parts to who you really are at your core. It's how your creative energy gets expressed. So if you have more urgent crisis-related needs every day that you have to tend to, and you have no space to embark on your passions, that's a misalignment. It's taking the crisis situations, the urgent practical matters are taking you away from the spiritual you. And you need to have space for both. It's very, very key. So you need to reevaluate your priorities and try to see if you can start scaling back on what is demanding your attention. Do you need more help to raise your kids? Do you need more support in the business that you're building? Do you need to delegate better at your job to other coworkers and try to share the responsibilities? Or are you taking everything on yourself? And part of that might be, difficulty asking for help. So you might want to pay attention to that if you do notice that that is coming up. Another piece is not being excited about the future. So you're not enthusiastic about where your life is going. Maybe there's some hopelessness, some frustration. That's also leading you potentially to feeling stuck. And so you feel a little stagnant. And that is a huge red flag, because what we know about nature, what we know about life, is that everything is in constant motion. Everything is a cycle. So stagnation is death. It's not part of who we are as human beings and as a living creature. Just look at the cycles in nature, whether it's the moon rising and falling, the sun rising and falling, how the stars move, how the leaves turn, how the flowers bloom, how things regenerate in nature and participate in this cycle of life. If you are stagnant, you are dying. It is death of the soul. So if you're not moving forward in your life and evolving and growing, you need to pay attention to what your fears are that are holding you back from pursuing a more fulfilled life. Because at the end of the day, our biggest enemy is only one person, and that's us. All the answers live within us, and we are our biggest obstruction going forward. Maybe it's not the whole of us. It is a part of us. It's our fear-based part, but it's us. Also, pay attention to how often you're comparing yourself to others. This is the number one way in which I see people get stagnant. They get completely stuck. You want to know why? Because all of their energy is spent on thinking about how great everybody else has it. It's kind of like when you see people who gossip a lot. If they're paying attention to everybody else's life, their life is usually in shambles. Because they're so focused on talking about everybody else and in everybody else's business, they can't possibly have the room, space, or energy to tend to their own. So when you're constantly comparing yourself to everybody else and saying, that person has this, that person has that, I don't have any of it, try to come up with some way in which you can build evidence to say, well, this helps me do that. Because I guarantee you there's no answer to that. There's no way that you can convince me that comparing yourself to other people is helpful. So you got to cut that. You got to cut that like a bad habit, because that's what it is. You're addicted to comparing yourself to other people because deep down you're afraid of moving forward with your own life. And when your mind lives in the illusion of what everybody else has, you never actually have to tend to your own shit and actually do what's going to get you to the next step. So you don't have to take responsibility for the quality and the direction and the path of your own life as long as you're comparing yourself to everybody else, because maybe looking at yourself is uncomfortable. Maybe there's some shame there that you have to work through. Maybe you're disappointed and you're blaming yourself for something that is not your fault. It is now your responsibility to make the change, but maybe even that's too much. So that's a really important one. Pay attention to how often you're comparing yourself to other people. And then on the flip side of that comes the defensiveness of always justifying the way that you've lived your life, the choices that you've made, the way you spend your time. And that has sometimes a lot to do with how we will justify why maladaptive coping mechanisms are okay. Well, I've had such a long day, I can totally have this drink. I can totally smoke this cigarette today because I'm stressed. You know, I'm in a tough spot, so I'm going to reward myself with this. You want to be really careful about what illusions you're hooked into around how you actually reward yourself. And do you always feel like you have to explain and re-explain the choices that you've made in your life? Well, it was because of this that I did that. Try to not get stuck in that. Try to not get stuck in that, because that leads you to the ultimate final piece, which is that you're not being authentic and true to yourself. As long as you're justifying poor choices and bad behavior. And justifying the reasons behind why you're still stuck. So reclaiming your most authentic self, the one who lives free of the expectations and the pressures from everybody else around you, and does what you know feeds your soul, allowing that most authentic self to shine, is how you rid yourself of all of this nonsense. You get yourself back on track and you live a fulfilled life. It's all about working through the shame, the blocks, and the limitations that have somehow prevented your most authentic self from shining. Maybe it's a fear of judgment and criticism. Maybe it's that nagging voice that always pops up that says you did something wrong. And that's the deconditioning process that needs to take shape in order for that most authentic self to shine. So the real you comes out when all of those limitations start to get worked on. So many different ways that you can do that. Meditation, positive self-talk, reassessing what your core beliefs are. Do you have a core belief that you're a bad person if you live from your true most authentic self and communicate exactly how you're feeling? Even if it doesn't come off that great. Maybe you had to be stern with somebody that pushed a boundary. And now you're feeling guilty about it because somehow you have a core belief that says if you speak your truth and you do it in a direct way that you're somehow a bad person. That's the stuff that needs to be undone. You can do it through hypnosis. You can do it through some styles of psychotherapy and talk therapy. You're only going to get so far with the talk part of it. But it's really about coming back to the core you, the most authentic you, the one that would live and shine and show up in the world if there were none of these rules that you've created for yourself through these limiting core beliefs. If all that was stripped away and you could do anything you wanted, What would that look like? And those are the questions that you want to ask yourself to get back into alignment. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. It's about maybe finding this path for the very first time, by the way. Maybe you've been off track your whole life. It's never too late. It's never too late. The only thing that holds people back is fear. Fear of more responsibility. That's what the belief is. That's what the illusion is. If I change my life right now in the way that I want, it's going to take too much work and too much money, too much time, and I'm too ingrained in what I'm doing. It's too late. It's never too late. Usually we don't start making these major changes until about halfway through our lifespan. That's the way it goes. So I always think it's a trip when people that are like in their early 20s, they're like, I'm 30 and I can't believe I'm like this off track. I can't believe I've been doing it this way for so long. It's like, what? Are you tripping? You're only 30. You're only 20. You're only 40, or you're only 50, or you're only 60. I mean, think about it. You got like, even at 60, you probably got what, 25 years left? Maybe more? That's a long freaking time. You could do a whole life revitalization in those 25 years. Why would you not do it? And if you're really clear that this is what you should be doing, and you're still not doing it, then you got to ask yourself, how is that fear and how are these limitations actually serving me? Well, they make my life, I guess, a little bit easier in the short term because I don't have to do all that extra work. Okay, there's your answer. So you're afraid of your own power. You're resistant to your own full responsibility. So you got to start dissecting what your relationship with power and responsibility are all about. Where did that conditioning come from? What belongs to you? What belongs to somebody else? As far as what those beliefs are, how many of those beliefs are yours? Or do they mostly just belong to people outside of you that have now occupied space in your mind with their nagging voice? And coming back to center and being patient also, because this doesn't happen overnight. You didn't get in the hole of stagnation and getting off track overnight. That was a buildup process. So now clearing all of that's going to take some time too. And this is the journey. This is what it's all about. So reconnecting, reclaiming your why. There it is in a nutshell. I'm going to leave it there. I will catch you guys on the next episode. It has been real, as always. Really real. And I'll keep you posted on how the vitamin infusions go. So far, so good. So, that's it. May the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody.
The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.